Hi, this is Jason Kidd. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Bescarini, KOAL, 750 AM.
I get a Drive Time Sports. We are live from Ruben's Barbecue, Main Street in Price. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. Hour number two, and we are going to talk NBA basketball. The Utah Jazz now officially eliminated from playoff contention. They've lost their last seven games. I definitely don't think it's a huge surprise to anyone, but they cannot sneak into the play-in round. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about last night's huge victory for the Golden State Warriors. Joining us right now, a man that we typically hear from on Monday. We pushed it back a little bit later on in the week, and it's probably a good thing because there is so much to get into. He is James Holish. James, great to get you back on.
You are very kind, and we didn't wait because of that. We waited because my silly self had to work, and I couldn't get on. So thank you for letting me come on again later in the week.
You bet. You bet. Still, though, a lot to get into from last night. I mean, the Golden State Warriors are just a game better right now than the Houston Rockets for the number 10 spot. And 4 minutes into the game last night with the Orlando Magic, we see Draymond Green get tossed. I don't believe Draymond wanted to play last night. I don't believe that Draymond is a fixed individual. I don't think that Draymond, I could go on and on and on. I'm just not a Draymond fan. Last night, to me, was one of the most irresponsible things I've seen from a guy who is one of the highest paid players on a team contending to get in the postseason. It was stupid. It made no sense. But what it did do is it lit a fire under Steph Curry that I have not seen in quite some time, James. Golden State gets the win, and boy, did they have to have that one last night.
I thought it was an exaggeration until I saw the footage of Steph Curry immediately after the Draymond second technical, where Draymond would have gotten away with it, but he had to get one last word over his shoulder as he walks to the bench, and it was pretty clear how explicit it was. And Steph Curry, I thought some of it was exaggerating, but he might have teared up.
Yep.
In anger and frustration. There was a shot of him rubbing his face vigorously with his jersey, and he's like digging at his eyes. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not making fun of him. But I've never seen Steph Curry so emotional except in times of joy, right? When they win and he's really emoting. And when he's the big shot and he does the sleeper thing. He looked so upset. And then even after they won, he's celebrating and he kicks the hell out of that chair. And yeah, this was one of the first times you've seen Steph Curry really kind of show some visible emotion at the situation that Draymond, great, one of the greatest defenders ever, allegedly, by all notes, a great teammate for the most part, with the exception of but things are starting to kind of unravel for him. And even though he's back on the court, and he's vital to that team. It's baffling, like you said, like that they need these games. They need you on the court. 4 minutes in, why are you so upset? It's insane.
Didn't make a lot of sense, but I love the approach that you've taken on this because this is not the same Steph Curry that we saw 3 years ago. It's just not. It's not the same Steph Curry that in 2020 averaged, I think he averaged 32, 33 points a game. It's not. And James, when you look at the way the league has changed, for Golden State to only be a game up on the 10 spot with still one of the most unique players that we have seen really in NBA history, who has played, I mean, he's going to play, if I'm not mistaken, he's going to get over the 70 game mark this year. It almost seems as if the urgency is kicked in with Steph Curry as to, listen here, we don't have a lot of time left to A, be playing in this game, and B, actually be contenders within the Western Conference. They're not contenders right now, but to even be in the playoff picture. And he's got a guy who is supposed to be part of this legacy, right? Part of this trio that is still there in Golden State pulling stunts like this. To me, it, last night's game just paints a very broad picture of who Steph Curry was. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, James. I don't know.
No, but you're not, though. And this is what's so fascinating about the current way we view the NBA. We can see every game. We have so much insight into these players' lives and the way they act that a lot of people feel like we almost know them, right? Of course, it's the public persona, so I'm not saying we know them. But we get an attachment to these players, even if you're not a fan of the team. And Steph Curry has been always very polite, and he's engaging. But we don't get to see too many – very measured is a good word for Steph Curry. Even in loss, he's very measured in his responses. So to see actual raw emotion from him, and like you said, he's still a top, five player currently in the NBA. Impact-wise, he can still do things that, no one else can really do at his level. For him to be playing the way he is in big moments, and sure, you nailed it. He's not the same guy he was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, right? Age, hey, father time comes for everyone. But he's still an elite player. And even when he does elite things and he's at his best and they have their full complement of guys on the floor, they're struggling to beat the Orlando Magic, who are a good, not great team right now on the rise, you know? So, you know, basketball mortality must be kind of hard to swallow. We're watching Klay Thompson deal with that, having to deal with his basketball mortality. I think Draymond is raging against his. And for Steph Curry, I think he's just trying to navigate right now. He's still an elite player, but he definitely, you know, he's 15 years in. I'm looking right now, his last nine games, he's shooting 41% from the floor, 34% from three, and he's averaging 21 points a game. And I think I want to say they're like maybe 4-5 in those games. And, you know, it's tough. It's really tough watching it, but it's also fascinating. We're watching one of the greatest players of all time, and we're watching him transition to another part of his career.
100%. Again, James Hollis joining us right now as we talk NBA basketball. James, that game last night so big for Golden State because right now the Houston Rockets have won their last 10 games. They are playing outstanding basketball, and last night a win on the road against the Oklahoma City Thunder, a 132-126 win in overtime. This is a team that has really come on, and you take a look at the stretch of games that they have coming up. Seems like Golden State needs to pocket literally everything that they possibly can at this particular moment. When we look at this Houston Rocket team, how much of a threat are they? Not only to get to the 10th spot, but maybe even a threat to get into the postseason with the way they're playing.
I'm really surprised. When Sengun went down, I thought they would, you know, they were going to be one of those teams. Good story, but you know, take some parting gifts with you on the way out. Jalen Green has caught fire. The what's their coach's name? I'm not joking. I'm not trying to be funny because I'm a Celtics fan.
You're not joking? You're being serious? Ime?
No, what's the coach? I'm drawing a blank right now.
Ime Udoka.
Yeah, Ime Udoka. No, I just drew a blank. I wasn't trying to be a who's that coach. No, there's no personal. Hey, he's a good coach.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
Again, late in the season, they are really catching fire, and their defense is elite. Much like Boston was that his last year when they caught fire and their defense became suffocating. So, yeah, they really are. They play great together. I love the energy they play with. There's a video of one of their guys, was named Tari, whatever, and he's on social media saying Warriors come out to play. They're not scared. They're learning, and they're getting better on the fly. So, they're definitely a threat because a lot of it's youthful energy and athleticism. One thing Golden State doesn't have, and that can actually that can win you a game or two when you don't have the talent maybe or the skill level or the experience. So it's Golden State, they got to be on it. The margin for error is about zero right now.
Yeah, when we look at the final 10 games for the Rockets, so they get the Jazz tomorrow, should be a win. Even though it is in Utah, should be a win. Then they go Dallas, Minnesota, Golden State, Miami, Dallas, Orlando, Utah, Portland, L.A. It's not an easy stretch. I mean, you got to go to Minnesota. You get a home game against Golden State. You got to go to Miami. You get Dallas on the road. You get the Clippers on the road. That last game of the year for the Clippers might actually mean something. It's not an easy stretch. I think it's going to be difficult for them to get in. But the bottom line is you take care of business next week against Golden State. You play even basketball after that. You're probably in.
And you know what? I love the hunger they play with. They got veteran leadership with Van Vliet and Brooks, which I thought Brooks was a clown show, but he's actually really good for them. It's almost like we said with Utah earlier this season. Everything that Houston does right now is just the cherry on top. It's all gravy. They're playing with house money. No one really expected this from them. I'm pretty sure, you know, towards the middle of the season when they've really tailed off after that hot start, they look like, all right, another team that, you know, they're a year or two away. So this would be huge for them, and it's all house money.
I want to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers. They have played better basketball as of late. The Lakers have now won 5 games in a row, and they've done it, picking up a couple of wins without the combination of LeBron James and Anthony Davis out of the floor. James, I think this is also relevant when we talk about the Eastern Conference. Just a couple of nights ago, the Lakers are down 19 points in the fourth quarter. Anthony Davis was outstanding. They come back. They top the Milwaukee Bucks. Before we talk about the ramifications of what that means for Milwaukee and their place in the Eastern Conference, I know with you, even with you being a Laker hater, you have got to be impressed with what you've seen from this team over the last 5 games. Even without the combination of LeBron and AD out on the court, they have played better basketball.
Yeah, 5-0 is 5-0. It doesn't matter who you're playing, right? You play who's in front of you. So I'm always pulling against the Lakers, and I've been disappointed for 5 games in a row. it's a, I guess, continuity, man. I'm not a big believer in D'Angelo Russell. We know his up and down season. He made those comments about wanting to smoke, and he put like trash for, you know, 4 or 5 games after that, but he's been much better. Austin Reeves has really kind of turned on lately. And yes, you're right. There's a time when after I thought, okay, LeBron's out or Anthony Davis out, this is a, chalk it up as a loss. So the fact that, you know, Milwaukee's been kind of surging and they look better recently, that's a big win for the Lakers. That's a huge win for the Lakers. So I begrudgingly tip my hat. I know that their coach has been under fire all year. And so the fact that, you know, that they're surging late and they, right when they need to, I got to give them their respect, give them their props.
Let's talk about what that means for Milwaukee, because there have been a couple of really bad losses for this team, and I go back to a lost 19-point lead with, 9 minutes to go in the game against the Lakers, no LeBron James, and you lose at home, and they got swept by the Lakers. I know it came down to the wire both times, but they just got swept by the Lakers. In the Eastern Conference, where the Celtics are still the cream of the crop, you have the Knicks playing pretty good basketball right now. I think they've won 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10. They've played good basketball. Cleveland should be getting healthy here relatively soon with the return of Donovan Mitchell this weekend. I would say right now it's state of emergency for the Milwaukee Bucks, James. I think this is a serious problem. I think this team has gotten significantly worse. You just talked about continuity a moment ago. I know you've talked about having a dog in you all year long. That was one of the things that you were concerned about with the Boston Celtics. I don't see this from Milwaukee. I think they got major problems.
I still don't really know what to say about Milwaukee, man. I want to agree with you wholeheartedly and enjoy their downfall. But speaking of dogs, Bobby Portis has been outstanding for the last, I don't know, month and a half. After being basically a non-factor for a big part of the season, he almost burned down the Celtics by himself, and he's been like really explosive. But yeah, it's curious because, you know, the record under Doc is worse than it was under the coach that they fired after hiring him in the offseason. But their defense is better. I just don't know. But then they come in and they lose to a team with no LeBron James. And Dame doesn't really take over. I really think that Dame is the key. I wonder if he waited 2 or 3 years too late to get traded, and now he's on that downward slide. That's what it might look like. So because their ceiling is so high, because of Dame and Giannis, I'm going to give them that respect. But they just look listless, and they look a little creaky, and they look like they don't have enough depth sometimes. And so that's going to be a team to watch, man. Either they're going to put it together and make a playoff run that's going to be impressive, or they might flame out in the first or second round. So this is going to be a really interesting playoff run.
Two different players, I understand this, two different styles that we're going to talk about here, but I want your perspective on what you just said about Dame. Maybe 2-3 years, a little bit too late, leaving Portland, going to Milwaukee. We'll find out, I think, in the postseason. How is Damian Lillard aged at age 33 in comparison to the guy we started the segment about in Steph Curry to age 36?
It's really hard to gauge that, but, I mean, as we know, there is no comparison. That's the thing with Dame. As great as Dame is, his career is going to go down as, you know, the best Blazer of possibly all time. He's a top 75 guy. He's incredible. Steph Curry's – the way Steph Curry plays, the way Steph Curry leads by example versus, you know, not so much what he says, the way Steph Curry is so comfortable off ball and being the spacer and being the – Not the engine, but being like the drive shaft, right? Not the engine, but everything goes around him. Being that versus what Dame is, who's a raw offensive kind of ball in the hands kind of, I need the ball. It's just different. So while I think Dame athletically looks fine, but he lost just enough of that athleticism where those shots from 30 feet aren't falling as often, right? It's all in the legs. So. He's just so inconsistent. And while Steph is too, just the threat of Steph makes him effective. While Dame, we've seen some bad losses from Milwaukee with him on the court, and he can't make shots. And once he's not making shots, then his effectiveness is zero. While Steph can miss shots, but he's still Steph. He's going to get double teamed. So it's not a comparison, right? It's just so different.
He is James Holas. He is kind enough to join us each week as we talk NBA basketball down to the final 10 or 9 games, depending on your favorite team. The Utah Jazz will make their return to KOL tomorrow night, eliminated from playoff contention, but still some NBA basketball. And I think if you're a Jazz fan, there's still some aspects of the season that could be entertaining over these final 10 games. James, we can end with this. If you have a team that is out of contention, odds are there are some bright spots somewhere along the line, some guys that you were at least semi-interested in. What do you tell a fan whose team is done here on March 28th? How do you keep them entertained in the game of basketball?
Well, I mean, if you love basketball, you're going to watch because of guys like Keontae George, right? Yeah. Sure, they're out of contention, but Keontae George is so much fun to watch.
He is.
And you know what? This is where I hate when people say stuff like this doesn't matter. The Jazz are still playing hard. Right, they're still playing incredibly hard. Markkanen's fun to watch. It's an afternoon in San Diego. The guy they got from Cleveland, with the rat tail,
Bull. You're talking about Colin Sexton?
Colin Sexton, right? He's so fun to watch. So, and like Utah, they might lose, but they're gonna make it spirited. Even if they get beat by double digits, it's gonna be spirited. They don't quit. I really salute your coach. The Utah Jazz coach, Will Hardy. They play hard. They play together. They miss shots, and you know, they make the turnovers and stuff of a young team. They did this on purpose, right? They traded away some of their key guys who were Kelly Olynyk, those guys that actually were productive and helping on the court. They traded them away. So, this is where you lean into it. Like again, just like last year, everything in Utah right now is house money. What's another team that's in the same similar situation?
Detroit, I guess you could put in that similar spot, right?
A team like Detroit, the kid Ivy they have there,
yep.
So much fun to watch. Jalen Duren, he is like, you know, he's a 7-foot physical specimen, athletic, and he's showing stuff off the bounce late in the season, actually handling the ball. Like that kind of thing as a fan you watch. Losses are never fun. Losses are never fun, but watching your guys develop and turn and then thinking what they can be next season, that's what you hold on to as a fan.
James, always a pleasure to get you on. Before I let you go, tell us more about where we can find you.
At Snotty Drippin on Twitter and Instagram, where it's mostly just nonsense, but basketball is the center of it. And then with my man, my homie and my homegirl, we do Casual Diehards podcast. Check them out and check us out. And that's really it. Other than that, don't find me.
We'll find you next week, James. I always look forward to the conversation. Thank you. It's always fun, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, bro. I'll make sure I drink my coffee next time so I'm not having in a brain fog.
It's always good, man. That's James Holas again taking out the time to join us. We're going to pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. Hour number 2, we are live at Ruben's Barbecue on Main Street here in Price.